Please be seated.
Good morning. I want to do things a little differently this morning. Let me see all the hands of our children here today. Where are you hiding? I know you're hiding back there too. Okay. I want to invite the children to come up this morning. Would you come up and join me? I'm sorry.
I'm a child too.
Yeah, well, it's time to grow up. Take your time. There's no rush. If you could just come on down here. All right. I had the pleasure of sitting in a position this morning. I was watching one of our children worship today, raising her hands, and that blessed me. Why don't you come up here, and we're going to, what happened to you? You let me know who did that to you, okay? We're going to continue to light the Advent wreath, and I wanted to invite the children up here to join us up close and personal. I want them to share in this time. When do we light candles? Anybody have an answer? It's one day a year that someone lights a candle for you. Your birthday, right? And Christmas is really a type of birthday for Christ, right? Remember that he was born on a certain day. And so, in part, we light these candles to remember his birth and his coming. And so we have the first week, and by the way, children, don't do this at home unless you're with the parent. If you do, you'll end up getting me in trouble for inviting you up here and influencing you. The first week we lit the candle of hope, and we talked about a living hope coming into our lives. And I know when Christmas comes around, a lot of you are hoping for something, right? I bet you if I asked you what you were hoping for, every one of you would have the answer like that. Well, Christ comes and he gives us that hope, a living hope, that makes all other hopes possible, all other parts of our lives enjoyable. And he gives us something to live for. And then the next week, we lit the candle of peace. A lot of craziness in our world, right? We hear a lot of crazy stories, but there's one thing that always holds true, that in the midst of whatever can happen, God is able to bring us peace. In the midst of all the pains and craziness of life, you got hurt, but God wasn't absent when you got hurt. And he is able to sustain us when we get hurt physically, and inwardly, emotionally. How many times have you had somebody say something that hurts your feelings? Well, at that moment, God is able to come and say, it'll be okay. I'm with you. Here's my peace. My peace be with you. And then today, we're going to light the candle of joy. Now, joy is something more than just being happy. Joy is something that can actually happen and take place in our lives, even when things are not going the way we'd want them to go. And there is always something, when we know God, to be joyful about. Always something to be joyful about. The problem is we're always tempted at times to think about the sad things in life and to put our focus on those. But God is saying, I'm sending you joy, and I'm giving it to you in Christ. Let's pray together before you go downstairs, okay? Let's do that, everyone. Father, we are so grateful for this moment to be able to share it with our children, to be sharing it together as a family, oh God. Lord, I pray as they go downstairs, would you anoint the times with their teachers, oh God, that you would place your spirit upon them. Lord, that your word over time would be deeply rooted in their lives, oh God, and they would be instruments of hope for other people, that they would be instruments of peace within their own home and to their friends, and that they would bring joy, as they have brought joy to me this morning, that they would bring joy to all those who come in contact with them. I pray that you'd bless their time now. Bless the teachers as well. And bless the reading of your word. In Christ's name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. 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 You are dismissed. Since we're making announcements for a moment, I just want to give you a heads up for the new year. January 13th, we're going to have like an unofficial Missions Sunday. So you're not going to want to miss that. Some good stuff coming down the road for this next year. And missions is going to be a big, big part of it. So I want you to tune in for that as we move forward. So this morning I want to talk to you about the reason for joy. Now, but before we do that, and I promise you it will all connect when it's over, I want to ask you, have you ever been robbed? Have you ever been ripped off? I thought about that this week, and grew up in Queens Village, our home was broken into twice in the years that we lived there. The first time, I was a small boy, and it was Christmas Eve, and we were coming back from one of my aunts on the other side of town, and we found the house ransacked on Christmas Eve. Thank God none of my presents were taken. And then one other year, we were also robbed again. When I was a teen, and I went from Catholic grammar school to public high school, which was quite shocking, such a different culture, I was ripped off three times in my freshman year, twice in the same day. I think we called it back then getting jumped. I think that probably has connections to what's that movie? West Side Story. Let's jump them, you know? And twice in one day, and it was crazy. It's crazy. And then as an adult, I lived for a time with my aunt and uncle, my second parents in Plainview. And I lived there for a time, and it was the week before Thanksgiving. And in their split-level house, I had the lower level. So when you came in the door, you went down the stairs, you went through a door, and that was my bedroom. And so we went to bed one night like any other night, and I heard, and the first thing I thought as I was waking out of my sleep is my uncle is having a heart attack and is an ambulance here to help him. Because prior to that time, he had an infection on the wall of his heart that put him in a hospital for about a week before they can clean that infection up. But what it actually was three guys busted through the front door of that home. And I think what woke me up was the bang of the door being broken through. And what I heard was their footsteps going up the stairs. And then I listened, and someone showed up at the bedroom door, a dark figure. I couldn't see because the lights were out. My usual habit is when I went to bed at night, I would go into the room and I'd turn the light on at the doorway, and I would go to bed and I would lay in bed and I'd read, and when I was done, I wouldn't get back up and get out of bed because I was lazy and I was tired, and I just reached over and I would shut the switch off. Well, that person came to the door and started flicking a switch because he wanted to see who was in the room. And all I heard was, "Are you alone?" I said, "Yeah, I'm alone." "Don't move or you're dead." And he disappeared. And then all of a sudden it got quiet. Later did I find out that just these three guys came in, they took whatever they could get, and they went out the door. Getting robbed is not one of those fun things. And yet it can happen. It can happen. And the thing is, what can be taken when we get robbed? Most times, things that can be replaced. Things that can be bought again. And things that insurance can cover. But there is a theft of goods, and I'd like to call it to you that way today, a theft of goods that can take place from us inwardly. And, God is in the business of wanting to put an end to that. I want to tell you a true story this morning before we get into the scriptures. November 13th, 2004, one Ryan Cushing, age 17, with some of his friends stole a credit card and went on a shopping spree. They bought video games, movies, and a fresh 20-pound turkey. Later that night, driving down Portion Road in Ronkonkoma, Ryan hurled that turkey out of a back window of a car, crashing through one Victoria Rivolo's windshield with such force that it crushed the steering wheel and it crushed her jaw, cheeks, and left eye socket. Rivolo underwent hours of surgery to rebuild her face and endured months of painful rehabilitation. The crime? Shocking. And Victoria Rivolo's response to it was stunning. Rivolo publicly forgave Ryan. She begged the prosecutors for mercy. They all pleaded guilty. Ryan faced 25 years in prison. However, Victoria's intercession paved the way to 6 months, only 6 months in jail and community service, and the others were only sentenced to probation. Victoria's sufferings did not stop her from hugging Ryan. "Just do something good with your life," was her only request. And the result? Of forgiveness, redemption, which is all covered in a book that she wrote named No Room for Vengeance. An incredible, incredible story. True, I heard it firsthand from her. What a great testimony. You see, Victoria had something that she refused to let be robbed from her. She had something in her life that would override this incredible offense, this disruption in her life that crippled her, not only in part physically, but could have crippled her emotionally. And yet she found it in her heart to love and to forgive and to express joy. She went around to different schools with Ryan Cushing, telling of this story, encouraging other teenagers to not do such acts of foolish violence, and to be able to forgive people when they offend us. Now, there are other true stories, and one I would like to touch on this morning is one from the scriptures about King David. So I'd like you to either look to the screen or turn with me to Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5. It's a true story about King David. And the king was getting robbed, ripped off. But this is what he prays. "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me of all my guilt." You see, David went to a place that would cause great harm to him. It would invite the enemy of his soul to come in and rob him of everything that God gave him, everything that God blessed him with. I mean, God blessed this young shepherd boy and put him in a place of leadership to rule a nation, to be over a people, to guide them, to instruct them, to love them, just as a shepherd loves his sheep. But he went off the track. And he did things that, well, that caused great harm, not just to himself, but to others. You see, as a people, we can be, and I'm sure you've never thought of yourself this way, and I haven't either, but I kind of caught a glimpse of myself this week that I didn't care for. We would never see ourselves as thieves, as robbers. But you know, there are times when we can steal from ourselves. Take from what God has given us and waste it away. And David was in such a place. And not only was he taking from himself at that time, but he was taking from a nation. And he was taking from a family. You see, because his conduct caused him to have an affair with a woman and to get her pregnant. And then in an attempt to cover it all up, have her husband murdered. He robbed life. Literally, had it taken. Oh, he paid somebody else to do it, but it was his doing. And what would David do? How do you recover from such a theft of goods? Well, David would pray. David was good at praying. Whenever you get in trouble, that's the place to go. That's where I go. And he prayed. And I want to look at that prayer with you in Psalm 51:12. There's always an amazing thing that happens when we pray. God hears and God works. Don't ever doubt that. If you ever get thrown at you, why pray? It's not going to change. Nothing's going to happen. You're wasting your time. You know where that's coming from. Don't believe it for a minute. David says in Psalm 51, verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." You see, because David fell out of grace for a time, and he only wanted to do what was on his heart and mind. And he needed to be restored. And so he prayed that. He saw it because God sent the prophet Nathan to him. To kind of rattle him, to say to him, wake up. Wake up. You're in a bad place. You're getting robbed. And you yourself have robbed. In fact, when Nathan addresses him, he talks to him in ways that David gets. No, God help us to talk in ways that help other people. He goes to David, knowing where David comes from, he tells him a story about a shepherd who took another man's sheep. Now, that's bad enough, but when you find out the details of the story is that this shepherd, this farmer, had an enormous amount of sheep. And the person that he took the sheep from was this one cherished sheep that he and his family loved as if it was a part of their family. And he took it. And when David heard that story, he got enraged. How could somebody do such a thing? This is horrendous. This man should be dealt harshly with. David was ready to judge him, lock him up, and throw away the key. And then David heard Nathan say this, "You're that man. You're the guy. You have everything that you could ever want. And you went out and you took Uriah's wife. And then you had him murdered." Can you imagine at that moment David being woken up and his heart sinking to his stomach? You ever have that happen to you? I have. It's not a good feeling. When you realize that you've hurt somebody, you've offended someone, and that's the last thing you'd ever want to do. And then you've been told what you said hurt me. That thing you did, you embarrassed me. It lays on your heart so heavily. And I'm sure that's exactly what David felt. Now, you might say, Pastor Vin, this is like Christmas. What are we talking about, all this mess and all this darkness and all this stumbling around? And how could you, why would you bring this story into Christmas? Because the Christmas story is full of such things. Christ came into a world that was completely and utterly lost and dark. A nation that could not find their way. A people that were lost, that needed light. They were steeped in sin. And he came. He came. The light of the world came. He came to bring joy. O come, Emmanuel. Right? God with us. And ransom captive Israel. Someone has to be ransomed means that they're locked up. They're in chains. They're in bonds. Their lives are crippled. There's no freedom. They're hindered. Every time they go to make a move, they're just so either desensitized or oversensitized. Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Whenever the Bible talks about God's people sent into exile, it's because sin got the better of the nation. Sin got the better of people's hearts. And so into exile they went, because that's what sin does. It enchains us. It holds us down. That mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel, shall come to you, O Long Island, New York, shall come to you, Patchogue, and the surrounding communities, and across the nation and around the world, shall come to you a God who is wanting to give you a precious gift, the gift of his joy. Well, what does that exactly mean? Well, let's go to the Christmas story, shall we? Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. And what we will do is just transport ourselves to that evening. I probably said this to you, and I'll say it again. I love history. I love history, and I love the way if you delve into it and you immerse yourself in it, it's almost like getting into a time capsule and going to that place in time. And if you spend the time, you can allow yourself to be able to sense and feel some of the things that were going on in that point in history. Try to do that as we read this moment. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Then the angels had returned to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What an incredible moment. To have the blackness of your night shattered with praise and the light of angels. You know, if we did a movie, you could be sure the special effects that could be produced to make that really so alive in our minds and in our sights and in our senses. What an incredible night. And out of nowhere, this gift given to them. And them being brought into it, because you see, that's what God is in the business of doing. Not pushing us away, but constantly drawing us to himself, bringing us in and making us a part of all the gifts that he has for us. And today we think about the gift of joy, but what does that mean? Well, it's found in these verses. God sent a Savior. God sent a Messiah. And for God to send a Savior means only one thing. We need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to be washed clean. Over and over and over again. Because of this human nature, because of this frame that I am stuck in for the time being. I need his forgiveness. I need a Savior. We as a people need a Savior, and he has come to forgive our sins. And in that is a great joy. I will never forget the moment as a young 20-year-old arrogant kid, the moment that Christ came in, and the joy that flooded my soul and my entire being. He transformed me. God comes to transform us. And when we come in contact with him and confess our sins and go to him, and you might be sitting here going, but I did that. I did that 10 years ago. I did that 15 years ago. I did that 20 years ago. I want to tell you, if you look close enough, there is an occasion, probably at least once a day, where you and I need to go and say, oh God, I did it again. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have did. I insinuated something that, you know, and we don't know quite often. Some, you know what I got to tell you? Nathan was a gift to David. When somebody comes and says, you know, you said something that, that's a gift. Oh, I know it hurts. It should hurt, you know? It should touch some part. When it doesn't hurt and we get hard and stiffen up, then something's wrong. It should hurt. Something should cringe inside of us. Go, ah, oh man, why did I say that? And of course, once I say it, you're not going to get it. It's gone. It's out there. It's like the internet, right? Once you put a photo out there, once you put something in writing out, it's out there. It's out there. And it'll always be out there. And it will never go away. Imagine if our sins were like that. They're out there, and they will never go away. God says, no, I've taken care of that. They're out there. They're gone now. As far as the east is from the west, your sins will no longer remain because I've come to forgive you. And in that forgiveness is great joy. Great joy. When David unloaded, you could imagine, over time, the joy coming in and taking back over. God restoring the joy of his salvation. God restoring those moments of joy when God's hand was on him in such a way that he knew it. And God was providing and leading him and guiding him. Great joy. And it's for everyone. Look at verse 10 with me. But the angels assured them, don't be afraid. Messed up this week? Don't be afraid. Don't get on yourself. Because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. That good news is that God is alive and well, and there isn't a thing that you and I can do that he can't forgive unless we live our entire lives in keeping him at an arm's length. Then when it's over, the deal is sealed. But every day is an opportunity to get closer. Every day is a day to get right with God. Every day is a day to feel His grace and His forgiveness on our lives. And there are multitudes of people around us that we can either share that joy with or be involved in the theft of goods. You and I have been given a great responsibility and a great power to love others, to be a living hope, to be a sign of peace, to bring great joy. As it is alive and well in us, then we have something to give to someone else. Forgiveness, joy. How? By drawing near to Him. By going where He is. By meeting with Him. I can never emphasize enough for us as a people to make time to meet with God on a daily basis. Start that day in His presence. I don't care if it's just 5 minutes. Don't leave your home without acknowledging Him. Don't leave your place where you dwell and where your family is without connecting with God. Go to Him. Recognize Him in your life, right? Verse 12. And you will recognize Him. You will recognize Him. By this sign, you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Going to the place where God is and connecting with Him, recognizing Him, recognizing His presence in your heart that moment, regardless of all the madness that could be breaking on your life from the night before, carried into through your sleep and into the next morning. You wake up, you're disturbed, you're disrupted, things are happening, you're not happy with life, things are not going the way you want them to go. God is there. Go to Him. Recognize His presence in your life. Don't let your joy be robbed and taken from you. Don't give it away so easy. Don't invite the thief into your heart and into your home and into your environment. Stand your ground. You know the Lord. Take hold of Him. Don't let go. Don't let go. You know, the shepherds have left us a great example, seen in verses 15 and 16. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said, okay, that's done, let's go home, let's go to sleep now, night's over, we're finished, right? No. What they did was, the shepherds said to each other, let's go. Let's not just stand around here and do what we normally do, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And what did they do? They hurried. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. God's bundle of joy, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's joy. You know, I have to confess that there are times when I'm lacking the very joy I'm talking to you about. Sometimes it's from an outside influence, but sometimes I do it to myself. I lose sight of what God is doing, what God is about, and what God has instructed me to do, which is to love, to be kind, long-suffering, patient, hopeful, and calling upon Him. And maybe you find yourself at this time of year. Maybe you found yourself at this past year in those places. No doubt we'll be facing such moments in the new year. But oh God, come and restore to me the joy of my salvation. God can restore the joy. It's a matter of us going to the one who is able to make a difference. be an instrument of peace, of hope, and of joy. Because without knowing it, just going into the normal parts of our days, and if you're anything like me, sometimes you kind of throw the switch and you go on autopilot, right? I got this to do today, I got that to do today, I got this to do today, and then you go. And when you're on autopilot, your hands, you're not engaged. You know, you're not engaged on the wheel. When I put cruise control on the car, my hands are on the wheel, but my feet are not on the pedals. They're near, in case I have to react, but they're not engaged. So autopilot or cruise control is not always the best way to go. Because we just go through our days, and then we, before you know it, we say something, where did that come from? Why in the world did I say that? Why in the world did I do that? And then we have to stop and back up and ask God for grace. Maybe we have to ask someone else to forgive us. And all in an effort to stop the theft of goods. And that's what Christ has come to do. Joy is one of those gifts underneath the tree. And he wants it for us. And it matters of coming to him. I want to say to you this morning, when we get together like this, it is the desire of God, it is the desire of your pastors that you come and you come into his presence and you connect with God through prayer, through worship, through the word. You connect. You know, we do it in different ways, do we not? We come, we sing, we pray. The word is given to you. We make times for prayer after the word. And certainly, just as the children came up here, at any time, any adult is welcome to come up here and pray. But I want to tell you, you don't have to come up in order to connect to God. You don't have to come up to connect and ask God for his joy and to ask him to forgive you for robbing or being or allowing yourself to be robbed. When I came into the joy of the Lord, I was 20 years old. I was getting out of a person's car. I was walking up a man's driveway. And I just said, oh God, will you come and forgive my sins? Because I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want you in my life. The driveway could not have been more than 50 feet. By the time I was in that house, I was not the same person. God came. God made new. God delivered joy. God is able to produce that joy walking through the woods, walking up a man's driveway, sitting in your seats, wherever you go, walking out this door today, on your drive home, just before you hit the bed tonight, when you get up in the morning, on your way to work, wherever you go, God is there. God is waiting. God is wanting to connect with you. God is wanting to give you his joy. And if it needs to be reestablished, to reestablish it. If it needs to be refreshed, to refresh it. And if you have never come into the joy of the Lord this morning, God is wanting and ready and willing to just get in and show you just how much he loves you and just how much joy he has for you. God is good. Let's pray. I want you in this moment to just do what we always do, but I just want to make certain that we do it. That our eyes are closed, that our heads are bowed, that our focus is on one thing and one thing only, Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, have you been getting robbed? Is something or someone ripping you off? Is there a theft of goods taking place in your life? Even though you have the truth and God's joy is with you, are you dealing with that? If you are, just simply would ask you to slip your hand up. It's just between you, God, and myself. If I see it, I know that I'll be praying for you. Don't be ripped off. Don't allow that which is precious to be taken from you. Pray. Guard it. Oh God, guard our hearts. And then maybe, just maybe, you have not yet invited that joy to enter in. If that's the case, there's no better time to consider and to invite God in. Oh Lord, come. Bring to me the joy of your salvation. I want to experience it. I want to know it. If that hasn't happened, take a moment. Slip your hand up before God. Let him see it. Here I am, God. I need you. I want you. Oh, Father, this morning, oh God, may we be a people that leave this place, go through this holiday and into the next year astonished. Astonished by what we have learned from you in our journey with you through the years, the weeks, the days, and the moments, oh God. Lord, may your joy overflow from our lives. May we celebrate you in such a way this year that our faith is renewed, our joy is once again established and firm because we have you. Lord, I pray as we go today, may we go glorifying you. Lord, refresh our souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, hear, for sinners hear, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
May God bless you, fill you with the joy that can never be taken. Don't let anyone steal it from you. God bless you. You're dismissed.